It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. More than half of Wisconsin's child care providers are operating below capacity. That's according to a new report from the State Department of Children and Families. A common reason for that? Not enough staff.
And the child care search site Winnie says Wisconsin families pay on average about 14% of their income to child care. That's roughly double the recommended average of 7%.
We're taking a look at the double bind in the childcare field, how to pay enough to bring staff on board while not getting too expensive for parents to afford. Paula Drew directs early care and education policy and research for the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. Paula, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
All right. This report, Paula, from the Department of Children and Families finds providers could care for 30,000 more children if they filled unused capacity. What are the challenges for these child care providers reaching their full, at least theoretical, capacity for the number of kids they take care of?
Yeah, so I think you hit the nail on the head already. It's a staffing issue, and it's ultimately a revenue issue. The sector primarily operates on parent fees. As you also mentioned, parents are paying about as much as they possibly can already, and it's not enough. It's a broken market system. Our calculations point to about needing 4,000 more teachers to fill that gap, to fill those seats that are open right now.
And a quandary here is to bring in these trained teachers. You have to pay them, of course, and there's a double bind. You ought to pay them enough to bring them in, but as I mentioned, not price parents out of the market. Are we anywhere near that, or is this something that isn't going to solve itself without some kind of outside help?
We believe that this will not be solved without outside help. I think parents cannot pay more, and we're seeing providers close because they cannot fill those financial gaps. And you're right, the average wage for an educator, you know, is about half as much as the average Wisconsin worker makes. So if you can work down the street at a Quick Trip or a McDonald's and make more and probably get benefits, you're likely going to make that choice for your own family. And that's why our classrooms are going unfilled. It's not something that can't be solved without public funding. And, you know, I think it's interesting that children are born learning, right? Their brains are more active in their development up until the age of five, yet we don't start funding education until children are four or five. And it's time Wisconsin starts investing in our youngest citizens.
Let's get a firsthand perspective now. Corrine Hendrickson is a family child care provider based in New Glarus. She operates Corrine's Little Explorers and provides preschool services, full-time child care, and education. Corrine, thanks a lot for joining us, I believe, from your preschool right now.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. I do have a substitute, so she's with the children at the moment.
Thank you for letting us know. I think people would have wondered. That is great to know. Now, Corrine, we've been talking with Paula here about these staffing challenges. Is this something that you see, this difficulty being able to draw in maybe as many childcare workers as you'd like to?
Yes, definitely. So for myself as a family child care professional, the very first time we ever received any sort of other revenue besides that was above and beyond what we charge for tuition, besides very few things, was during COVID pandemic. And that was the very first time that my household family income was stabilized. That was the first time that I could buy my kids their clothes when they needed them, instead of trying to figure, okay, how can I play this game so I can go get their clothes and pay the bill off next month? And so that was huge. And the reason that that's never happened was because, as Paula was saying, I cannot charge enough tuition to pay myself a decent wage. For all the hours I work and, you know, with the children, I'm with kids for 50 hours. That's another piece people forget. We have to care for the children while their parents are commuting and have lunch breaks. And so they're in care for about 10 hours a day. And we need to be able to pay ourselves and our teachers that much. And so this last year, after we lost the federal funding and our state refused to continue it in the budget with our state funds, I had to incrementally raise my rates. They're $70 more a week than they were a year ago. I am pricing out of families. I have never had problems filling my slots before, But this year, it was the week before September 1st when I had three openings that got filled that week. And that was frightening because then I was looking at, well, if I can't operate with only five children, I won't be able to pay my bills. So I started looking for other jobs because I couldn't, you know, I can't justify putting my family into bankruptcy or losing my home if I can't fill spots. And I had several people looking and several people asking, but I would send them my contract and rates and they were like, I can't pay that. It's too much. And so even my child on subsidy, she pays half of my tuition because our subsidy is so poor in this state that we are not meeting the financial obligations that we have set out when we take the federal money for that. And so it's affecting everyone, our lowest income, our middle income. The only people that are left that really can afford quality care are those who are in the higher socioeconomic status. And so we need that public investment to help offset that. All the other countries around us do it. You know, more and more investing more and more because they're understanding it's the brain development. It's that caring, nurturing relationship. Smaller group sizes are what we need so that we can meet these kids' needs, especially as more and more having special needs. And they should be included in our programs, but we can't support them if we don't have the lower ratios or the high quality teachers to do that.
And Paula, Corrine mentioned, you know, she's basically on the edge here of being able to stay open as a business. How common is it that we're seeing people in maybe Corrine's position saying, you know what, I love this work, but it just doesn't work anymore?
I hear that same story almost every day, Rob. And honestly, I was not surprised at all when I read this report. But, you know, what visually I was imagining while reading it was sort of like a store with a bunch of empty shelves or a shopping mall in decline. Like, we knew this was going to happen. Childcare providers have been sounding this alarm for some time. And as, you know, as Corrine was saying, as these childcare accounts payments are reduced, this is exactly what's happening. The world is not as it was before COVID. And even then, the private market for childcare didn't work. And now it's absolutely broken. We can see, you know, this direct link between maternal workforce participation and the supply of childcare. And Wisconsin now is seeing its lowest women's workforce participation since the 80s. So as we have a decline in childcare that's available and affordable, less women are entering and staying in the workforce. And that is costing the state probably as much money as it would cost to just invest in the early care and education sector.
We are talking about difficulties facing childcare in Wisconsin after a new report showing a lot of capacity at childcare centers, not for good reasons, because they can't find enough staff or because costs are high enough, as we're hearing, to say parents can't afford it. We've got Paula Drew with the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association with us. Corrine Hendrickson, operator of Corrine's Little Explorers in New Glarus. Corrine, another challenge that came out of this report is unpredictability of when parents are going to need help. So family A might need 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. every week, every weekday. Parent B might need only holidays and days off. Another one might have an unpredictable schedule. Their needs vary from day to day. Is this a challenge when it comes to scheduling and staffing a child care?
Yes, absolutely. As more and more people have more flexible work options or are basically going into their employers and saying, look, I can only afford to pay for childcare 3 days a week. So I'm only working, you know, 3 days a week. But then they're coming to us and we can't fill that whole slot because what happens is that parent isn't needing the consistent day. So let's say they work as a nurse and their shift isn't every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It varies throughout the week. And so that child still has to have a full-time spot because we can't fill the other spots in consistently. And we can't be over ratio for good reason, the health and safety of these children. Also, young children really need consistency of care. And so those of us who do accept part-time, we would like the days to be in a row because that's what's best and best for the children and their development. And so that's part of an issue too, because, you know, it's really difficult for us to communicate that to parents and for them to understand, but I only need these days this week and these days this week. I'm like, but how do I fill in the other days so that I can operate fully, maintain, you know, my revenue that I need to maintain, but then also make it so that you can spend time with your own child, because that's also part of why people are wanting to do, you know, more part-time work or flexible scheduling, because they want to be able to spend more time with their children during these years. So we really need to be looking at how we invest as you know, not necessarily a per child, or because I don't like to call it slots, them slots, I should say, it's per child. Sorry, I have a child in the bathroom.
That's fine.
and so we really need to look at, what does this program need to operate? How much do they need for their basic program, you know, the building, the utilities, the food? How much do they need to pay their employees a livable wage and benefits? Because that's another thing we're finding is people, family child care in Wisconsin, the average age is like 54. A lot of our people have been doing this for a long time. They're 70, they're almost 80, and they can't retire because they have no retirement. And so we are asking people to work almost until they die in this field. And that's not fair. And that's not something that we as a society should be expecting of anyone. And so we really need to look at this holistically and look at, we need to create a system that works for the parents, that works for the children, and works for our community, so that our employers have the available workforce that they need right now. And then also in the future, we're building these brains. 90% of that brain development happens in these early years, and it's relationship and it's one-on-one and trusting, caring environments. And so that is making the workforce for tomorrow. And that reduces costs for K-12. It reduces crime. You want to reduce crime? Invest in early childhood. It is like the easiest way to do it. And there's police officer groups that are getting more and more vocal. Invest in kids, not crime, is one of them. And they're really coming back and saying, look, all of these things come back to our broken communities and our broken child care system.
And we'll leave it there. Corrine, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And Paula, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely.
We've been talking about child care in Wisconsin with Paula Drew, who directs early care and education policy and research for the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, and Corrine Hendrickson, family child care provider based in New Glarus. She operates Corrine's Little Explorers and provides preschool services and full-time child care and education. Is this the story of your life we're talking about right now, whether you provide child care or as a family, you need it? Tell us about it. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.